Stage Dramas present the second episode of The Poison Crystal, a dramatization of the second installment of the thrilling, glamorous mystery serial which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. From every section of the country, we are receiving enthusiastic praise from thousands of American Weekly readers who are following the very dramatic developments in The Poison Crystal. Everyone agrees it's the tops in mystery fiction, and it isn't too late for you to begin to follow this really thrilling story, for you will find a complete synopsis of the opening chapters, which lead you right into the second installment in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now here's Abel Weems, dramatic critic for the New York Globe, who is telling us the story of The Poison Crystal.
Thank you, John Martin. Well, I covered the opening of my friend Don Rockwood's new play. It was a hit, despite the fact that the leading woman, Tess Blandon, and her leading man, Arthur Preble, nearly ruined it with their spiteful, jealous bickering and fighting that was almost visible to the audience. After the show, Rock, Martin Gower's producer, together with the two leads and myself, went to supper at the 33 Club. Gower arranged the party and ordered a special bottle of sherry to drink a toast to the success of the play. Well, we were just about to drink when a strange woman stepped up, took Rock's glass, and joined us in the toast. She sipped the wine and left immediately. Then Tess, the leading woman, picked up the same glass and said, "Two of your admirers will drink from your glass." Well, she barely sipped the wine and collapsed in less time than it takes to tell it. She was dead. Suspecting murder, I sent for the district attorney. We all waited for his arrival. Martin Gow, the producer, paced the floor muttering,
"The play. The play. What happens to the play without Tess?"
"Always the businessman, eh, Martin? If I were you, I'd start worrying about what happens to the man who killed Tess. That's more to the point."
"Oh, no one killed her, you idiot. With her heart, it stopped or something. It was typical of Tess to die so dramatically."
"Easy, Preble. She can't hit back now, you know."
"Respect for the dead, is that what you mean? Well, why should I respect her now or any time? She hated me, was jealous of my ability. I'm darned if I'll pretend any emotion I can't feel. I didn't like Tess when she was alive, and I like her less even now."
"I wouldn't repeat that to the district attorney if I were you. It sounds bad, Preble."
"Well, I'll repeat it. I'll repeat it. Every word of it. And I'll have a good bit more to say. You did it. You killed her, and I know why."
"That's a filthy lie.
Oh,
you know
it, you two. Halliday and his detectives will make a better audience. You can go into your act for them. Do a King Lear or give them the Mark Antony lines. They may like it, but to me, it's spinach." "Oh, hello, Halliday. Been in to see Tess?"
"Yes. And Louis said you wanted me before the police. Thanks, Abel."
"Yes, I knew that Donovan and his gang of the homicide squad would have made this a Roman holiday. Probably left you with a flock of headlines, but no convictions."
"Oh, by the way, this is Dr. Garland. He says Miss Blandon died of poison."
"How do you do? Yes, that's my guess, too, Doctor. Here's the glass. She drank from this. Not very much. All over in an instant."
"Yeah, naturally. Cyanide, I think. A very common poison that acts instantly. But unfortunately, it's very easily detected. Of course, I'll need an autopsy to confirm my statement, but there's no doubt in my mind at all."
"You've heard of Martin Gower, the producer. And that gorgeous profile over there is Arthur Preble. You know Halliday, don't you, Rock?"
"Yes. How are you, Tom?"
"Hello, Rock. Sorry this sort of thing had to happen to you. Know what it's all about?"
"Well, I've been trying to puzzle it out ever since it happened. Oh, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is impossible. Impossible but true. I know something about poison. Did quite a lot of reading on that subject when I decided to knock out a murder yarn at one time. I guessed what had killed Tess the moment I looked at her."
"Did you by any chance know who killed her?"
"Not an idea. Not at all."
"Tom, suppose I give you an outline of what happened tonight."
"All right."
"I'll start at the time in the theater when Tess pulled a few fast ones in the last act, and Preble forcibly put her in her place."
"Well, there are four of you here, but of course none of you did it."
"I didn't, Tom. I could have, but I didn't. Best reason I can give is that I had no cause. I'll admit Tess and I were not exactly pals. I often wrote things in my reviews that might have caused her to murder me."
"Oh,
but..."
"Cut it out. Don't try to turn this whole thing into a farce. I know you, Abel. I know your style. You'd laugh yourself out of the whole filthy mess. And while you were doing it, you'd hang me. Oh, it's all very obvious. It all points to me, all right. I hated Tess. Yes, I'll admit it. It's true. But I swear I had nothing to do with her death."
"You were sitting next to her?"
"Yes, I was, to her left. But I didn't touch her glass."
"Oh, yes, you did. You wiped it with your napkin. I saw you."
"Yes, sir. Yes, I wiped the glass with my napkin. Yes, that's right, I did. But that was not the glass she used. She took Rock's wine. Don't you remember?"
"Yes, that's the truth. She
took
mine."
"And you did not touch any other glass?" "No, I did not."
"I'm sorry, Preble. You're wrong about that. When Rock stood up, he jarred the table and you steadied the glasses, right?"
"Yes, but that was before Tess took Rock's glass."
"Yes, but you grabbed Rock's glass, too."
Sorry, that puts you on the spot, Preble.
Yes, I'm afraid it does. There seems to be a definite motive and also the possibility that you could have dropped the poison in the glass. Naturally, the charge will only be suspicion of murder until we get a grand jury indictment.
Only suspicion of murder? Well, why not take me out and hang me now? Why, that charge will ruin me. But look, why am I singled out? What about him?
Yes. Yes, good idea. Why not take a crack at Martin Gow, Tom?
Yes, you were seated next to Miss Blandon, Mr. Gow. You could have done it.
Yes, yes, I suppose so, but I don't remember touching either her glass or any other on the table.
Well, how about the wine? He served the poison wine.
Now, don't be an ass, Preble. I'm not dead, and I drank mine. See. No, Martin, you didn't touch the glasses, but your hand was close to the one Tess used. That's right, isn't it, Martin?
I don't remember. In fact, I'm sure it would have been a physical impossibility for me to have done it.
Did you have any reason? You understand, of course, this is merely a preliminary affair. I'll dig into your past tomorrow and find a dozen reasons, I suppose, but you might save us all a lot of trouble by talking now.
That means you suspect me. I suppose there could be a few superficial reasons that might make me a suspect. Tess and I quarrel quite a bit, but on the face of it, the whole suggestion is ridiculous. Tonight, my show opened and was a decided hit. Even Abel will admit that. I stand to make a small fortune on the run of the play, or rather I did until Tess was...
murdered. That's the right word. Now, the rotten business. One that takes precedence over any other.
You mean that I would sacrifice a hit show, money, fame, everything to kill a woman with whom I have no quarrel?
You claim to have no quarrel. Maybe you're right, but I'm afraid I'll have to hold you.
Very well. I'll have nothing more to say until I speak with my lawyer.
Suit yourself. Now, Abel, you said something about a woman who stopped at the table and spoke to Rock. Who was she?
Well, I don't know. Never saw her before.
You know her, Rock?
No, I don't.
Why, say, do you expect us to believe that? Why, of all the nonsense, why, she called you by name. I remember distinctly she said, "Your success, Don." She didn't call you Mr. Rockwood, or even Rock. Oh, no, she called you Don.
Yes, that's right. I caught her staring at you, Rock. Very interested.
Oh, what of it? Thousands of people stare at me. Hundreds speak to me. They call me by name. I don't know them, yet they know me. It's all part of show business, that's all.
Show business? Did that make your hands tremble? Did that make you so nervous you didn't hear her when she spoke to you? You know her. Who was that woman?
Dirty work at the crossroads. Cherchez la femme.
You can't laugh this off. It's clear to me that poison was meant for Rock. The woman was probably a leftover from some love affair. She tried to kill him, and Tess saved his life at the expense of her own.
Oh, fooey on that melodramatic stuff. Saved his life. Someone wanted to get rid of Tess. You, perhaps, people. Maybe Martin, even Rock here. As a Chinaman stands, I couldn't stand her any longer. Well, one of us killed her deliberately and rather cleverly. The question now on hand is who?
Yes. In that case, I intend to book you all. You three on suspicion of murder, and you, Abel, go down as material witness. Come on, let's get going.
Well, Tom took us all in, but I was allowed out on bail. Rock, Martin Gow, and Preble were held. Late Monday afternoon, I looked in on the DA's office.
Come on in, Abel. I want to see you. How are you?
Well, first time I've ever been out on bail. Gives me quite a sense of importance. Thanks a million, Tom.
I wish I had your sense of humor. But this is murder, Abel. Someone's going to the chair, and it's my job to send him there. You think I like that?
Well, why not? I always thought you district attorneys enjoyed putting a prominent person in the electric chair. But it helped you... helped to put you in another and more comfortable chair. The governor's, for instance.
Very pleasant thought. I convict Rock, and as a result, I'm elected governor. Good gosh, Abel, I've known Rock intimately for the past 5 years. He's my friend.
So what? Does it have to be Rock? Maybe Martin Gow wanted to get rid of Tess. Maybe Preble. But Rock didn't. He couldn't. He had no reason.
You know what this is?
Oh, probably some long-winded speech to be delivered at some big testimonial dinner.
I wish it were, Abel. But it happens to be Donald Rockwood's confession to the murder.
What? Why, Tom,
listen,
that...
I'll read it to you. Hi, Donald Rockwood, and so on through the legal preliminaries. At the restaurant and nightclub known as the 33 Club, did kill Teresa Blandon.
Oh, he's crazy as a loon. Why, Rock...
I have wanted to do this for the past 2 years. It is not generally known that I am the owner of the building in which the 33 Club is located. When my first play was a success, I moved out and rented the place furnished to Louis Ravigny to be used as a restaurant.
I'll be hanged, I didn't...
Now, listen to this. The crystal used at the supper at which Teresa Blandon was killed belonged to me, a very old set I had purchased in Rome.
Those glasses, the poisoned wine was served in.
Were at one time the property of the infamous Borgia family and were used to administer poison to the enemies of that family.
Oh, now, Tom, what...
Wait. The particular glass from which Teresa Blandon drank from was known as the poison crystal. In the base of the bowl, where it joins the stem, a slight imperfection can be found. It is a small half bubble in which a poison was secreted and then covered over with a light film of gelatin. The action of the alcohol melted the gelatin and allowed the poison to be dissolved in the wine.
Listen, what is this? A script for a 10, 20, 30 melodrama?
Listen now. I, Donald Rockwood, allowed Theresa Blandon to seemingly force me to go to the 33 Club. I drew her attention to the set of crystal, knowing these glasses would then be used. I deliberately forced that glass upon Theresa Blandon by engaging an unknown actress to stop at my table and pretend to drink from my glass. This confession is, and so on to the legal phrases. Well, there it is, Abel. Now, do you know why I'm feeling badly this evening?
And you mean to tell me you believe all this tripe?
Why not? It checks every word of it. The glass has an imperfection. Rock does own the place.
I know. You've gone over the whole setup, and it's perfect. But it's too blame perfect. It's a mystery drama, that's what it is. Scheming playwright lures a beautiful actress into his house and forces her to drink from the poisoned crystal. A lot of hogwash.
Maybe. But the glass actually belongs to a set with that history. I've gone through the whole thing with four experts. They all recognize it.
Of course they did. I don't deny the truth of the Borgia angle. I don't deny the truth of any confession. It's all perfect. You can trust Rock for that. But the whole thing is wrong for that reason. It's too perfect.
I don't quite follow you. What do you mean by too perfect?
Exactly what I say. In your job, you get perfect alibis. You do your best to tear them to pieces. You know there's no such thing as a perfect crime.
Certainly, when we get an alibi that checks perfectly, we get suspicious. But what has that got to do
with... Plenty! Now you've got a confession that's perfect. Perfect in every detail. I can vouch for it. I saw it all happen.
But you still don't believe it.
What I saw, yes. The rest of it, hokum. I'll bet he didn't give you his motive for the murder, did he?
How'd you know that?
Am I right?
Yes. I asked Rock why he did it. He just smiled, shook his head, and told me to dig up my own reason.
Of course he did. And if you don't... He'll find one for you before the trial starts.
But why is he doing this? I don't want to convict Rock. I don't even want to think he did it.
Of course you don't. Rock is no more the murderer of Tess Blandon than you are.
All right, then prove it. If I had a reason to doubt Rock's story...
There is a reason. He showed her to you.
What?
Paraded her before your eyes. He used her in his plot. That woman.
Now who's being theatrical? You think that woman did it?
I don't know what to think. Maybe she did. I've got it, or something darn near it.
Yeah?
Give me a few hours before you turn his confession over to the press.
It won't be easy, I promise you. This case is crowding everything else off the front pages. The boys are howling for statements.
The heck with the boys. Keep that confession quiet, Tom, and I'll give you something that will make it look sick in a few hours.
You mean you'll find out who killed Tess Blandon?
I don't know, but I'll find out that Rock didn't.
Why does Abel Weems persist in his belief that Rock's confession is false? What is his plan to prove Rock's innocence? Who is the mysterious woman, and what part did she play in the murder of Tess Blandon? Don't miss the many thrilling developments in the second installment of The Poison Crystal, the mystery sensation of the nation, now appearing in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And be sure to listen to another thrilling episode of The Poison Crystal next week at the same time over the same station. Page Dramas present the third episode of The Poisoned Crystal, a dramatization of the third installment of the thrilling, glamorous mystery serial which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. This latest mystery novel, The Poisoned Crystal, has all America playing detective. What kind of a detective are you? Listen carefully to this dramatization. It has a surprise finish, one that will tax your imagination and powers of crime detection. You can play a very exciting game and get the complete answers to the problems in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. But now, let's listen once more to Abel Weems, dramatic critic who is telling this exciting story.
Thank you, John Martin. Well, you all know by now how Tess Blandon died at the 33 Club after the opening of Don Rockwood's new play. I was there for a supper given by Martin Gow, the producer, who had invited Rock, Tess Blandon, the leading woman, Arthur Preble, the leading man, and myself. Tess was murdered by drinking poisoned wine. The DA arrested Preble, Martin Gow, and Rockwood on suspicion of murder. I was released on bail as a material witness. Then came the bombshell. Rockwood confessed to the crime, but I was sure his confession was phony and set out to prove it. At a little bar on 45th, I kept an appointment I had made. Mrs. Rockwood.
And you are Abel Weems.
Yes. Sit down, won't you? Have a drink?
A drink and an explanation.
A dozen of both, if you want. Eddie, bring the lady...
A scotch and soda. Now, Mr. Weems, let's get down to cases.
You've read the papers. You know Rock is in a jam. I'm his friend, and, well, naturally, I want to get him out of it.
How did you locate me?
I had a good look at you Saturday night in the 33 Club. I noticed you were wearing a wedding ring that you called Rock Don. And that he was as white as a sheet when you spoke to him. So I put two and two together, and it spelled Mrs. Rockwood. Louis Ravini at the 33 said you were a regular customer. So I tried all the nearby hotels and was lucky enough to find you at the Wharton.
And now what?
Well, now it's up to you.
I don't see where I'm concerned. It's unfortunate that Don happened to be with Miss Blandon when she was killed. But surely they don't actually suspect he did it.
Rock has confessed to it.
But why on earth is he doing such a thing?
Did it ever occur to you that Rock might be still very much in love with you?
Oh.
He's as stubborn as a mule.